never settle, unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips and experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College football playoffs expanding again. I missed some of the news last week. Welcome to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Perloff here in the New York studio, Maggie at home. Maggie, I cannot believe some of the stuff that you were telling me that is happening in the college football world. You know, everyone's focusing on March Madness, so I feel like college football is going off and doing whatever it wants, and the latest plans seem a little ridiculous to me. Why don't you break it down for us?
Okay, so yeah, while Pearl was evading alligator crocodiles and poisonous snakes and everything in Costa Rica, as we heard yesterday, in his harrowing adventure vacation, college football was busy at least talking about future changes that could really alter the playoff of the sport. So according to Heather Dinich from ESPN, there are more talks scheduled for today in Texas. And according to her, now she's not reporting this as a done deal, Pearl, but according to her, expanding to 14 teams seems to be the leader in the clubhouse. Now, this would not happen in 2025. We are talking about 2026. So it would go from 12 to 14. And here's at least the dynamic that was floated out there of how this would work. The Big Ten and the SEC, as the big kahunas, both get 4 automatic bids. So that means 8 spots accounted for. The ACC and the Big 12 would get 2 spots each. So now we're talking about 12 spots accounted for. The group of 5 would get, their champion would get 1 automatic bid. So now we're up to 13. So that would be your Boise States, your Tulanes or whatever. And then Notre Dame would get an automatic bid if they're ranked within the top 14. So that's 14. So if they are going to expand to 14 teams, and if they are going to go with this format, we're not going to have an at-large unless Notre Dame somehow is not ranked in the top 14. And why would Notre Dame ever schedule anyone challenging anymore? Because they can easily stay in the top 14 as long as they don't do silly things like losing to Northern Illinois and then maybe following that up with another loss. So, you know, to me, it kind of takes a little bit of the fun out of this thing in some ways, because you would just have all these spots present and accounted for.
Wait, Maggie, explain this to me. When you said Notre Dame would get the last spot, they wouldn't spell it out like this is specifically for Notre Dame. That would be the at-large spot, or would that be the Notre Dame spot?
No, it would technically be the at-large spot. However, if Notre Dame is ranked within the top 14, then they automatically get it.
Wait, why?
So it kind of is the Notre Dame spot.
At-large, because they don't have a conference, they would automatically get it. What if one of the other, say Washington State, had a better year than Notre Dame?
Sure. I mean, the Pac-2,
possible.
The Tupac. I don't know how they would do that, but they are apparently in this proposal, which I don't even think it's at the actual proposal stage yet, but at this point in the talks, it would automatically go to Notre Dame if Notre Dame is ranked in the top 14. And there'd be nothing that Washington State or Oregon State could do about it.
I don't like any of this because I feel like the more rules you put down about how this all works, the more controversy we're going to have. Because even within in conferences, schedules are very unbalanced as well. Look at Indiana, we know didn't play anyone this year. Penn State didn't really play anyone. So the way I understand what you're saying is the top four teams, even the SEC, that on some years will be totally confusing because you might have this year probably would have worked out, but you had, I'm looking at this, five teams were 5-3 within the conference. And I know they have tiebreakers, but you're going to have some ugly situations where teams are going to get in that don't feel like a top 14 team.
Well, yeah, but that's the world where the SEC and the Big Ten would have this outsized power because they're saying we're the ones who are bringing in the most eyeballs and we're the reason why the sport can expand here. One other caveat is the SEC, I believe, would move to, instead of playing eight conference games in the season, they would play 9 conference games. So, yeah, the schedule could still be imbalanced, but you give another shot to play one of the big dogs in the SEC. So you probably wouldn't be able to avoid everybody.
No, I'm saying it's not about the SEC power. I'm telling you, they're going to have a mess within finding those four teams in the SEC because there were six teams who were 5-3 in the conference. Like, you might have Alabama by technicality could fall out to another SEC team. This could end up hurting the SEC. But what if SEC deserves 6 or 7 teams? What if there's 7 top 12 teams out of the SEC, then they're screwed in a way.
I know. Well, I think they're kind of going with the bird in the hand, right? Because they want to just make sure that they get their 4 teams in. And again, if you were going to a 16-team college football playoff, then obviously that leaves a little bit more wiggle room for automatic bids where more of your SEC and more of your Big Ten teams could potentially get them. But to do it at 14 and how I just laid out the math of how all these bids would basically be present and accounted for, it's just simply like you got the roadmap here if this is how they're going to do it. So a little bit interesting. The one thing I like about this would be replacing a conference championship weekend with instead more of like a play-in game. So if you did have teams that were jumbled at the top, instead of doing like the SEC championship game or the Big Ten championship game, instead you have the 6th-ranked team in the conference play the 3rd-ranked team and the 4th-ranked team play the 5th-ranked team and try to do a little more of a play-in, win-or-go-home type thing.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. But like, are they going to get all that through too? It feels like there's many, many things that have to happen here.
Okay, so I'm glad you asked. Now, one other thing to keep in mind here. This year, 2025, what we have coming up, any changes, any changes that happen to the college football playoff have to be decided on unanimously. So the commissioner of the ACC is going to have just as much of a say as the commissioner of the SEC. That's only for this year. Starting in 2026, it's the SEC and the Big Ten who can unilaterally put in any kind of changes that they want. They don't need to have a majority. It doesn't have to be unanimous. They don't have to convince the, you know, Big 12 commissioner to get on board. They can just go ahead and do whatever they want. So if the SEC and the Big Ten feel like 4 bids, automatic bids each, is the way they want to go, it's going to happen.
Right. But what about the play-in stuff? Like, is that up to each conference how they do it?
No, I think that would also be something that the SEC and the Big Ten would decide upon. So, again, I don't know. I think that's what it would be. We still have some more details to iron out, but it would be the SEC and the Big Ten's world, and everyone else would have to fall in line after that.
I mean, I totally get it. I just feel like I have a better system. Why don't you a committee pick the top 16 teams and then have a playoff? Like, boom, done. You're done. Like, why wouldn't it work like the NCAA tournament, like the basketball tournament?
Well, I think that, the SEC and the Big Ten are trying to get the sure thing. So that would be number one. They don't want to leave it to committee, probably.
Well, it's so stupid.
That's what I would guess.
It's so stupid.
I'm not saying it's smart, Pearl, but you're asking me what the motivation is behind it. I think it's to get the automatic bids.
Yeah.
And I think that they probably don't like the fact that the committee, you know, has at times been really subjective and gotten things really wrong.
Well, I think
case in point would have been Florida State 2 years ago. I mean, that was almost ridiculous what they did to Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny. I mean, definitely, like, the SEC will absolutely screw themselves if this is a deal. For example, if they expanded to 16 this year, they would have gotten in 3 more teams. They, you know, instead of having 3 teams, they probably would have had 6 teams. Because I think I think Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Alabama all might have been those teams between 12 and 16. So I just feel like anytime you add unnecessary restrictions and in something like this, you're just asking for trouble. So even the SEC in the, if you say bird in the hand, like this is a big mistake by those two conferences, especially the SEC, maybe a little less so the Big Ten, because I don't know if the Big Ten is as, the SEC was down last year, I understand, but yeah. I feel like they have a little more depth. Like they're the team, they're the conference that they could get 7 or 8. So they're automatically, they're probably going to end up screwing over Alabama at some point with this new system. It's funny, like, well, this is their idea and it's going to end up hurting them? That's ridiculous to me.
Well, 855-212-4227, if you want to weigh in on the future of college football and how this playoff could work. I mean, there is a world, and I'm not saying that the SEC is necessarily, you know, looks scared here, but there could be a world, Perloff, where college football isn't the same as it was before NIL and the transfer portal. And the ability for the Georgias and the Alabamas to stack 5 stars 4 deep is no longer the case, because why wouldn't a talented player go somewhere else so that they can get paid and start? And as opposed to being buried in a depth chart and one of those power schools. So maybe the SEC is looking down the road and saying, you know what, we may not enjoy this dominance that we once projected over the rest of college football because there's more parity. So while we can and while we have the hammer, we're going to make sure that we get 4 of our teams in, because you said down year for the SEC last year. You're right. Was it 1 year? Is it a trend? Yeah. What are we going to see here? And, you know, let's be honest, like the Big Ten actually has the champion and the SEC wasn't even in the championship game because it was Ohio State versus Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, it was a down year, but they still had 7 teams in the top 15. I mean, that's the thing. They have so much more depth. I think that they're making a big mistake here by actually limiting themselves. If you go to 16 teams, I mean, there's going to be so many SEC teams. Because even if they do fall apart a little bit, I think you, because Alabama and Georgia weren't so dominant, that means that you give teams like South Carolina, A&M, and Ole Miss a better shot. They're going to be good. That's now, if you do a 16-team bracket, it's the bracket of very good, not the bracket of total excellence. And you know SEC is going to have a bunch of programs that are good, where I feel like there's much more of a cliff in the other conferences, right? Like Big Ten was awesome this year, but it falls off a lot more severely. The bottom of the Big Ten was god-awful. So anyway, I just think restrictions ask for trouble in anything, especially college football playoff. And again, last year, remember all the debates like about Indiana? Like, I just think you're going to make this worse and worse. You're going to have the 4th Big Ten team might be terrible 1 year. They might be a 500 team, and they're going to be in the playoff, and everyone's going to be like, well, this is unfair.
Well, and that's actually, you're talking about a world if it actually is 16 and you have even more at-large bids.
Yeah,
What ESPN is reporting now is that 14 is really the thing.
Yeah,
so,
14 too. Right. But
no at-large. One at-large, but it would go to Notre Dame if they're ranked high enough.
Yeah, I think if they did do this, Maggie, my honest prediction is that they scrap it after a year because it's going to cause so much imbalance. Like you're going to just have, some team's going to have a quirky record that's going to be in there. Like the number 28 team will be in there. And also, we saw so many blowouts last year. Aren't you asking for more blowouts?
So I think what the committee would probably say is that what they're looking at for this upcoming year is reseeding. They would probably say that was a seeding issue. You know, we should have never had Boise State and Arizona State, just because they were conference champions, getting an automatic bye. And how much did that end up, you know, hamstringing things later? And, you know, Ohio State shouldn't have been, what were they, 8 or whatever. It should have been more, the seeding should have looked more like the rankings, which it did not.
Right. Well, but
so
how, but
they might say that's a seeding issue and we can get rid of it if we just change that.
But how do you have SMU not getting blown out? Like, who are they? How is the 14 team not going to get blown out by the 3 team, even with the new seating? I think that's generally a problem with the overall ranking. If you have 14 or 16 teams, you're going to have blowouts. But if you have automatic bids for all these spots, then you're going to get some real serious blowouts. Like you're going to have like TCU, Georgia in the first round. I think
well,
it's all bad.
I think the question for the committee, and I think we already know the answer to this, is this about actually creating a system that tries to find a true champion in college football, or is this a system that's being thought up to make more money? And I think we're all cynical enough, even though we love college football, I think we're all cynical enough to know what the actual answer here is. Because you're right. I think it's going to be harder in a football arena to pull off a big upset than it is like in basketball. You know, I think that it's going to be a lot harder for Cinderellas to get through, but they don't care because they can build, you know, the 14 team against the third seed. They can bill that as a playoff game. And wow, look at this winner-go-home playoff game. I don't think it's going to do anything to change the blowouts, you know, potentially. And I don't think it gets us closer to a Cinderella. And I'm not sure how much it gets us closer to one true champion. So I'm not really sure if it serves or checks any of the boxes.
Well, I think it actually gets us more blowouts and further away from a true champion, the automatic bids. If you just take the top 14 teams in the country, you have a better chance at having a more parity playoff. If you set up four for the Big Ten, four for the SEC, two for the ACC, and two for the Big 12, then you're setting up some real weird teams in there. Like we saw this year. I mean, this year there were some oddball teams in there. So I say just get rid of all the restrictions or you're going to have a major problem on your hands.
855-212-4227. Are you encouraged or are you discouraged about the future of college football? Do you like where all this is heading or are you feeling a little bit like, all right, we lost the plot? How are we actually deciding this here? Or are we just really giving all the power to the Big Ten and to the SEC?
Wait, let me just point out one thing. I think this new system is ridiculous and stupid, but I love it. I mean, the more controversy, the better. Well, I'm not saying, of course I'm encouraged about college football. Expand to 14 is awesome. Expand to 16, even better. Probably don't get any higher than that because then you're going to get like the NCAA basketball, which the regular season is meaningless. But even controversy is good. You have to admit that, Maggie.
855-212-4227. Let us know what you think about the future of college football. Now, I don't know if everyone thinks that way, Pearl. I think that if you are really a diehard fan of a team, it's not so much about can college football sell us on a controversy. It's like, did my team actually get into the field?
But
do they have, you know, are they getting a fair shake?
Well, I think there were people worried that expanding to 12 was going to be bad for the sport. And obviously, I never understood that logic. B, it was obviously good for the sport. Last year was a banner year for college football. So my point is expansion of the playoffs is a good thing. The only bad thing is when they put these weird restrictions on which 14 teams, that's when you get into trouble. But all of this is good. More college football, the better.
855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on the future of college football, are you encouraged or are you discouraged by what you're hearing with expanding to 14 teams and all those automatic qualifiers? All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you what is the one thing that you need to be paying attention to at the NFL Scouting Combine. And got a spoiler for you. It has nothing to do with the draft-eligible guys who are going to be working out in spandex shorts.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/whereyoustart. Because where you start matters.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Perloff here in the New York studio, Maggie at the home studio, discussing college football expansion. Will they go to 14 teams? Will they go to 16 teams? Will there be a lot of automatic bids? I think this is going to be the controversy of the year, Maggie. And by the way, whatever they come up with, you know that half the audience is going to absolutely hate it.
and they'll probably have a point, you know, because you can't predict like what's going to happen, which is one of the reasons why we absolutely love sports. But you're right to look at this and say, what's the SEC and Big Ten doing? Why would they hamstring themselves into only 4 automatic bids?
I don't know.
With no more automatic qualifiers when you do have, in theory, 2 of the deepest conferences in college football. Let's go to the phones and tell us what you think. 855-212-4227. Rob's up in Tennessee. Rob, what do you think about the future of college football? Are you encouraged by this?
Actually, it's Brandon in Tennessee.
Brandon, how you doing?
You're fine. I'm good. I'm a big fan. I listen to you guys every morning while I'm working. I think it needs to be fair across the board with all of football. If you've got the Pac-12 come back as a full conference, so you've got 10 conferences across the board, let's give everybody a shot in the playoffs. Every conference champion gets an automatic bid, and then you have 6 at-large bids. That evens the playing field across the board. I understand I'm a Big Ten guy. Big Ten SEC wants all the power, or most of the power, but let's make all of college football equal across the board.
Wait. Am I hearing this right, Brandon? You're saying all the conferences, like the Patriot League? And like, wait, what are you talking about?
All of the Power 5 and the Group of 5 conferences.
All the Group of 5 conferences.
Yes, you got five Power 5, 5 Group of 5. That's 10 conference champions. Every single one gets a chance. Here's the reason why I say that. I think you look at it like this: with the transfer portal being like it is, you're going to have more bigger name kids decide to go to these smaller schools, and it's going to even out the playing field a little bit more. It's not at first. Not at first. But over a couple of years, it'll start even things out more. It'll make things more interesting. And honestly, if you don't do it that way, what is the Group of 5 plan for? Just a conference?
Brandon, are you secretly the commissioner of the MAC or something? This is I haven't heard this yet, but they would love to hear it, you know, that the Group of 5s that everyone and every one of their conference champions could have a shot at an automatic bid. I love it. It's outside the box. You have to really be thinking, Brandon, thank you for the call. Mm-hmm. You really have to be thinking that the parity that's coming to the college football, Perloff, is going to be like really fast, and that some of these smaller schools are going to be able to come up with, well, they're going to come up with the money because of a likely settlement that happens with the NCAA. Mm-hmm. But
long way to go.
You got to really hope an influx of cash is coming real, real fast to some of the American Athletic Conference teams, yeah. Conference USA, the MAC, the Mountain West, etc.
Well, so Marshall won the Sun Belt, and they got destroyed by Ohio State, I believe, this year. And Army won the AAC, and they got destroyed by Notre Dame. So I'm not sure that those will be competitive games. It is interesting. I mean, I totally agree with the overall point that there is going to be more parity amongst some of these smaller conferences. I just don't think they're going to be quite there. And you're going to cost, like, you're going to put Army or Marshall in over Michigan or something down the road. Like, that's not going to play.
Oh, man. Total chaos is what it would be. Kevin is our pal in San Antonio. Kevin, you like this for college football.
Yes, I do. It's like the NCAA basketball tournament. When I saw the tournament that Oakland upsetted Kentucky, I said, what if they put a football team, the college football just like that? Because you never know. The football, it's just growing. This is just a stepping stone right now. And I'll piggyback with that college said. You know, you get some of these schools. It's gonna take some time, but it's gonna work out.
Man, Kevin, thank you for the phone call, and keep sending us pictures of your breakfast every morning to MaggieandPerloff@gmail.com because it's been a delight for all of us to see what you're eating every day. Love that kind of loyalty from our listeners. Perloff, maybe you and I are being naive here. The future of college football, the Sun Belt is dealing with the same kind of talent as the SEC.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, I don't think House versus NCAA actually is going to happen, Maggie. The way, you know, this huge rev share where it's going to even it out. Even if that does happen, you have an even playing field, then Ohio State and Alabama and some other big programs are going to come in on top of that money and spend more in NIL. And even if it's illegal, they'll find ways to spend more. So I don't think that they're going to have this wild parity. It's not going to become like a 110-team NFL where all of a sudden the University of Louisiana is going to be beating up on Michigan State. That's just not going to happen. But I just think, again, it brings up the same point that I keep getting to. Why have any rules? Why not just give me one reason not to just have a committee pick 16 teams? I know the committees are flawed, but then you could solve all of this. You could say, well, you know, Marshall looked great this year. Let's put him in. Or there was no Sun Belt. There was no Group of Five team this year. Let's put all the good teams in. Why not just have the best 16 teams? No one ever gives me a good reason not to have that.
Well, the only thing I can think of, Pearl, is that somehow the top two conferences are spooked. They're the ones who are pushing for this. If they really thought, hey, we're going to get seven teams and six teams and we're going to be we're going to dominate this bracket, then they would never suggest anything like this. But in fact, the opposite's happening. They're passing off four automatic bids to the ACC and Big 12, and they're passing off one to the Group of Five and essentially rolling out the red carpet for Notre Dame. So, you know, they obviously see some kind of value in just saying, hey, we'll take our four automatic qualifiers and then let the chips fall where they may.
I just don't understand this. Did Sankey originally want 6 out of 12 teams to be SEC teams? I feel like this is a wildly unaggressive move by the SEC. If they're, like you said, if they're controlling all this, then why aren't they really controlling it and saying, give us more than four? They're just not allowing enough wiggle room, especially if it's 14. With all those automatic bids, there's just not enough space, because you could have just a weird season where the fourth team in the Big Ten is awful or the second team in the ACC is mediocre. So anyway, I just say less rules.
855-212-4227. Keep it coming. Are you encouraged or are you discouraged by where the future of college football is going? Andrew Bogish, the birthday boy, is in for us doing updates. Have more people now been reaching out, Bogues, that we played the very soothing Mexican morning happy birthday song to you to reach out and say, hey?
I can't say that anybody's reached out because of the song.
They hate you.
You know, that's obvious. I've heard from people, but I don't think anybody has been was pushed by the song.
Because the words Feliz Cumpleaños weren't even in the song.
I thought I heard desperation. Like the limited Spanish I know, the words I were picking out were not happy words.
Yeah, is there like, what's the word? Did it ever say happy birthday in that song, Manny?
No.
I think it said, don't worry, it'll be over soon, was what I heard in there.
Which is also kind of encouraging for a birthday. I'm always kind of interested about this because, you know, for men, I feel like birthdays may be a little bit different in terms of your friends reaching out. There's really no expectation. I don't think that even your best friends would necessarily remember your birthday. And I'm really going off of Perloff here, who said he can't imagine sending a text message to another man telling them happy birthday. Am I right about that, Pearl?
Actually, there's like two best friends that I do. But generally, no, this is not something that I would do. I mean, I don't even, like, if you're texting a guy, you kind of have to have a very, you never say, yo, what's up, man? Like, I don't really send that text that often. You know, I don't know. Am I alone here? Would you guys text all your friends when it's their birthday?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well,
like all of them? Like, did you see it on Facebook?
The
or
ones
something?
That I remember.
Of right. Course. The main ones. Like, I'm going to get a text. It's a little, still early for the most part, but I'm going to get a text from, like, my college buddies. Text thread. Those will all start soon.
They all know your birthday?
Yeah.
This is because what of Facebook, though, right? Or because of social media?
I think there's one. If I went back, I think one person is always the first. The same person is always the first one to wish the rest of the group the happy birthday. So I think he's the one that remembers. How he remembers, I don't know. But he starts it, and then everyone else joins in.
Yeah, yeah, Perloff, usually when people love you, they remember their birthday.
Right. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, real friends.
Okay, sorry.
Perloff, you have no idea when your best friend's birthday is. I don't know if your best friend is from college or high school.
Two friends.
You do.
Two friends who I know. Okay. That's it. I go too deep on the birthdays.
Man, you guys are so lucky. Do you realize for women how different this is? Like, for women, if you don't send a birthday text or call, it's like a federal offense. Like, you could get kicked out of group chats, friend groups. Like, there's so much more riding on this birthday stuff for women than there is for men. I'm actually envious of you guys because it's one less stressful thing that you have to have like flying around in your brain, because women get deeply offended if people forget their birthdays.
Well, we win again.
And and the silence. All right.
Yeah.
Headlines. Go ahead.
Y'all got a lot going on there, right? These friend groups.
Dude, you don't even know the half. The birthday should be the easy part, but we'll find a way to make it complicated because
Maggie,
we're women.
Do you have to get presents for all your friends?
No, I don't think so. But actually, you know, that's not true. If I'm going to celebrate someone's birthday, then yes, I must bring them a gift.
Oh, that's the worst. When you have to, now, like, one thing is awkward. When you take your buddies out for birthday dinner, like, you have to pay for them and, like, one guy, like someone wants to go to the expensive steakhouse and you know the other guy can't afford that. Do you guys get in any of that awkward
yes.
dinner economics?
All like, the time.
Oh, it's the worst. Birthday dinner economics are tough.
That's funny. That's kind of the last thing that for women, actually, that we care about because, you know, who eats? No, I'm just kidding. I would just say, no, that's not. It's more about. I'm just joking. It's more about the acknowledgement of the birthday. Once we get to the dinner, I think everyone's cool. But who's invited to the dinner? Where are you sitting at the table? That's where the real mental, like the jujitsu really comes out.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's almost guaranteed that everybody else chips in to pay for the birthday person. But
yeah, definitely.
But the economic diversity of the group becomes a problem.
A like huge problem.
Someone's drinking $95 scotch and someone else is having seltzer. And are we really going to split the bill evenly through eight people? Like, that's where it can get dicey.
We have one guy who's always like, let's go to the most expensive steakhouse in New York City. And everyone's always like,
and get the most expensive thing there.
Yeah, I just can't do it. Like, I can't spend $273 on this.
You know what's funny? On
a
Wednesday.
Very specific number.
Yeah, I know.
Sounds very plausible, though. I think that it's incumbent on the person. If you're drinking, like, fancy drinks and you're at the table, you have to say, all right, I'm going to pay. I got my drink tab, right? Don't you have to do that? You can't ask people who are drinking a Budweiser to pay for your
Macallan's,
you know, scotch, right?
I don't know. That makes it even harder. So wait, you're going to actually sit and look at the bill and say, you pay 80, you pay 50?
I think if you're a wine
guy. No, you say,
like,
I'll pick up the tip. Or something like that, like try to make it a little more even, no?
Or like if you're, I think, suggesting an expensive wine, that's an easy thing to be like, I want to pay for this bottle. Like that's an easy thing to take on yourself if it's abnormally expensive.
I think you're oversimplifying how easy that is. In reality, this all sounds great at 8:34 Eastern, but when you're actually sitting there in the restaurant and say, you pay 73, you pay 54, going specific there for you, by the way, 54 49.
Did this happen to you last night?
Yeah. No, but I think it's split. Like, again, you're just adding controversy.
Did you do this in Costa Rica with your in-laws?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, paying for
did
the meals in Costa Rica.
Bill was experience?
No. But, like, we have this issue where I have a group of about eight core friends. And everybody makes wildly different salaries. So it is a big issue about where we're going to dinner. And it always comes up. And then I'm not going to get too specific, but there's one guy who comes and says, I'm not going to eat dinner. I'm just going to have a drink.
Yeah.
And then he ends up eating dinner and we end up paying for him. I don't know if every friend group has that guy.
Yes.
Well, he's probably been pulling that move more than the Eagles pulled the tush push. I mean, he's clearly an advanced degree in how to get a free meal.
Yeah, and it's well, and I feel bad too because like restaurants can get expensive. It's, you know, you can especially on birthdays. Like, let's celebrate. Let's get another bottle of wine. Let's get a bottle of champagne. Let's get a dessert. And like all of a sudden, what we're up at $112.68.
Again, extremely specific number.
You're a ball of fun, man.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. You guys are the one who wants to get the calculator
stay home.
Out. You have the calculator out because Manny ordered
friends.
A single malt. splitting bills. Oh God, I feel like Larry David right now. It's like splitting up a bill.
I was thinking this sounds like an episode of Curb right
now. Yeah, splitting up a bill. I just think it's too much of a pain. I'd rather stay home and watch Netflix.
I just think it's funny that men are very worried about splitting up the bill, and for the woman in our group, it's more important about where you're literally sitting at the table and where and did you send a text message to the person saying happy birthday to begin with. We worry about very different things.
I guess
silence. I am really striking out with this group. Bogus, what's going on in the world?
Well, when you start talking about what life's like for women, you're not getting anything back from us. I'll tell you that right now.
Like, we get it.
Are you afraid to comment?
No.
Right.
No.
I definitely
well,
am.
Well, yeah, I am. But that's not the point. Like, yes. We have no idea. Like, you think that we understand you at all? You're dead wrong.
Broads? I don't understand what you're saying. Oh, my goodness. Like, what do you want?
Honestly, I can't even believe I had to explain that to
you. No, it's not like we're afraid to comment back. Like, honestly, like, you're explaining to somebody, like, you're explaining calculus to a caveman here. Like, we have no idea, like, what you guys go through on a daily basis means nothing to, like, we don't understand. Like, Manny, you think Manny, all he wants to do is go home and watch a Knicks game? Like, he understands the dynamics of the where people sit at a birthday dinner?
Well, I'm worried about where the guys are sitting on the bench.
This is
Maggie's trying
also
to
learn important.
Fifth degree unspoken languages to us. We don't get it.
Like, you should see how, like, really our faces are totally blank. You're like, we have no idea what you're talking about.
To be honest, I'm just scratching the surface. I haven't even really gotten into the complicated stuff. But anyway,
deeper?
It gets deeper. This is level one. I mean, you guys haven't even gotten past. This is 101.
This is
women's brains.
Level? Oh,
yeah, exactly. Wait till you get to the real
this
core.
This isn't even 101. This is 99.
How about getting to the one? One woman tells another woman, "You look tired."
Ooh.
Oh, my wife hates that more than anything. I say, "Honey, you look tired. Why don't you take a break or something?" And it's like, "Oh, I look tired, huh?" I'm like, "Oh boy, here we go."
I get that every day from the deli guys as well. Every morning, "You look tired. Thanks, buddy."
Yeah, guess what? I am tired. Yeah,
same thing. That's your spouse. Yeah,
that's where the comeback has to be made. And be like, "That's funny because I feel great." See what he says to that. Again, silence. All right.
No, but you'd be like, you feel great, man. You look like crap for somebody who feels great. You just must be.
It's like, funny, I'm in the best shape of my life. Weird. Take that egg and cheese now. Bogey, should we leave you anytime?
Yes. The longest active winning streak in the NBA currently shared by the Cavaliers and the Pistons.
Who? With the lead and the ball. Harris Cunningham, he's wide open. And hits a three, and that could be the dagger. 103-93, Detroit, with a minute 3 to go. Holy mackerel.
Pistons radio sounds older than me. Detroit, a 106-97 win over the Clippers, their 7th victory in a row.
Man, I'll tell you what, Kate Cunningham, he really put the ball in the basket that time. He's got 32 points.
He did, he had 32 and 9 rebounds for Cade.
Every night. You have to come with it. You have to play with that grit. You have to play with that sense of urgency. And that's something I think we've gotten better and better as the seasons went on, is maintaining that sense of urgency each game or finding it within the game.
This is the Pistons' longest run since January 2015. They are 3 games clear of the Magic in the 6th spot in the East, so comfortably above the play-in in those East standings right now.
January of 15, I was a senior in high school.
The T-Wolves took a thriller in OKC, 131-128 in overtime. The Thunder led by 22 after three. Nikola Jokic, 18 points, a career-high 19 helpers in the Nuggets, 125-116 win in Indy. The Sixer losing streak is 8, a 142-110 home beating from the Bulls last night. The Wizards, though, stopped their skid at 6, 107-99 over the Nets. Penn State pass rusher Abdul Carter is still recovering from that shoulder injury he suffered during the CFP, so he will not work out for teams at the Combine. Neither will Ashton Jeanty, but both should be on the field at their school's pro days next month. Men's top 25 action last night, fourth-ranked Houston, a 69-61 win at number 10 Texas Tech. That clinches them at least a share of the Big 12 regular season title. And number 15 Michigan won a shootout with Nebraska, 49-46, and yes, they did play all 40 minutes. Utah fired men's basketball coach Craig Smith yesterday. The Utes will not make the NCAA tournament in any of his four seasons. And Justin Verlander made his Giants spring training debut yesterday. Two innings, one strikeout, one solo homer allowed against the Rockies.
There's a guy that's older than Bogus.
He's actually not. In reality,
and he's married to Kate Upton.
He wins there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
You're married to a K2, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. That's the, yeah.
Bogish. What's his face? Very similar.
Same.
I'm not touching that, but can I tell you the now I know what you guys
you
feel.
You're talking about women, Maggie?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't listen, I'm just looking out. Any woman does not want to be compared in any way to Kate Upton, yeah. Even if her names are the same. Field goal percentages, Michigan and Nebraska. You shoot 29 from the field for Michigan and 25%
that's
from
basketball.
Field goal range.
That's basketball.
That is an abomination.
That's not good. Hey, can I one quick Kate Upton comment?
Yeah,
Maggie,
please.
You've been around her a lot for swimsuit, right?
Yep.
She's ridiculously tall. Did you guys know that? Like, she's like
a model's tall?
But I mean, like, she's like shocking. Like, I every time she came up to the Dan Patrick show, I was like, oh my God, this, first of all, she's obviously beautiful, but she could be like a WNBA player, and you don't see that on camera. Anyway, just my general observation.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Perloff here. I don't think that's what people are focusing in on.
No, I know. But you have all,
what is it then?
But you have all that, and she's 5'11".
I got two guesses for you.
Yeah, but you combine that, and I get all that. And the fact that she's like taller than you, Manny, like this is a good catch for Justin Verlander. That's all I'm saying. I'm a big fan of tall women.
He needed you to tell him that.
Yeah, Verlander.
Like, wow, well, Perloff says she's a catch.
Just we've been debating it for the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. Is Justin settling here?
No.
I'm not really sure.
Are they married with a couple kids?
Yeah,
could go 1-24 next year and have a better season than any of us. Let's put it that way. No, I mean, your Kate is wonderful, by the way.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
Oh, boy.
She's my Kate, yeah.
Maggie, get back to the dynamics of the woman's birthday dinner. I need to get out of this one.
Kate,
I think I just insulted
correctly.
Bogus' wife.
Oh,
somehow.
I did.
Bogus has been wondering what his family was going to do for his birthday. Well, I got a newsflash for you. It's now nothing.
Can you go home at this point?
Yeah. Well, here's the good thing. My wife never listens, so this is a safe space.
Happy birthday, Bogus. You're sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, don't tell us you look tired.
when you're sitting alone at a Mickey D's tonight, really contemplating life,
well, I'm a Wendy's
that's going to be a
for the record.
Okay, enjoy the baked potato because it's going to be lonely.
Ooh.
Okay,
sounds
lots
good,
more
also.
To do.
Did you get a Frosty in that deal
of
too?
Of course. Because
if so, I will actually join you, Mr. Bogus.
Oh, now we're friends.
Well, if you're talking Frosty and baked potato, we're all in.
That'll cost you about $5.72.
You guys gonna split it?
Yeah. Well, by the way, are we getting? You have to pay for that Frosty.
Yeah, no, that's
I'll buy your potato.
Oh, thank you.
How about this? You want to ensure that you're going to be eating alone, guys, in a Wendy somewhere in Long Island, bring Emily Ratajkowski into the conversation. Let's see who else we can try to throw in there. Okay,
Nora.
Lots more to do, including, suggest to your wife to watch Nora. Well, she might like
it.
I mean,
we
talked about this. Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about this yesterday. Very racy movie that you get no heads up from the description of just how much graphic nudity is in this movie. It can really hit you right upside the head. So there you go.
And once again, this is the greatest advertisement for the movie Anora possible. Like, every listener is like, well,
not a negative, Maggie.
Yeah, Maggie, like, I can't believe you're like, wow, this movie was just too hot for my liking. What?
Women, watch I don't it. Understand them.
You want to try to understand women, watch this movie and tell me if you get any closer to that. 855-212-4227. We're asking you, are you encouraged or discouraged by the future of college football and where things are headed? We'll also check in on our favorite college football coach next, M&P.
Daily.
Do you believe that?
Dion.
You believe that?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, Maggie, it's a big week, it feels like, for Deion Sanders. What is he up to lately?
Okay, so much that there's more than one thing here for the Daily Deion. So this goes back to last week. Deion was on the Tamron Hall show, and he was talking about his recruiting strategy now for, what is this, the third year in a row. No home visits. Let's hear from Deion.
That's how I recruit. I don't go to nobody's school and nobody's houses. I'm not doing that. I'm too old to be going to somebody's school or somebody else. All the kids that I'm recruiting, matter of fact, they're in the portal. They're grown men with kids. They don't need me to come around their crib and try to convince them to come play for me. No.
Deion again saying no thank you to high school recruits, basically. Not going to schools, not doing those kind of high school visits, just going in the portal, Perloff. You know, without Shador now and without Travis Hunter as the backbone, I'm curious if this strategy can continue to work where you're turning over so much of your roster year after year.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, though. I always think of that one quote that you and I got from Bruce Pearl, the Auburn basketball coach. I think it was Bruce Pearl saying he wants guys with hair on their butt, basically. You know, I get it. Older players win, especially in college basketball and college football, too. The old teams, Ohio State, what was their secret power this year? They'd all been there except for Jeremiah Smith. They had a bunch of older players. Like, I get it. Age is important, and I understand that it takes a while to get in your system. I think this is a solid strategy, Maggie.
Yeah, but Ohio State, Perloff, a lot of those guys were homegrown. I mean, yeah, the quarterback was a transfer, and a couple of guys Quinshon Judkins and stuff. But like that, they are recruiting high schools. Ohio State still is. Georgia still is.
Well, yes, but Ohio State was able to pay a ton to keep all those guys around. Generally, when you get an 18 or 19-year-old at Colorado, if he's good, he's going to go into the portal to get a new NIL deal. So I understand. And by the way, they did get Juju Lewis, the big quarterback recruit. Like, I think probably the biggest quarterback recruit to Colorado. So his name alone attracts people. I don't think – will you admit that Deion does have a little bit of an advantage? Like, he doesn't have to go to someone's house, even more so than other coaches, because everyone knows who Deion is.
Yeah, but everyone knew who Nick Saban was. Everyone knows who Kirby Smart is, and these guys still make a lot of home visits. Now, that's not the only thing for our Daily Deion today. Let's get to Shador, okay? Shador Sanders, Deion's son, saying not going to the draft, and this is courtesy of Overtime.
We most likely do Colorado or Dallas. We ain't really decide like fully yet. But yeah, we plan on doing it, you know, like an event thing. And where it'll be fun, it'll be more family, friends be able to come. Because the only thing with going to the draft is just like, you know, I want to spend those moments with my people. And you got to think, having everybody come out there, bro, it's going to be so expensive. You feel me? So cost-wise, you saving a lot of money. You get to be around your people and all that. Like.
Okay, so Shador not going to Green Bay. That's where the draft is this year, and everyone knows Green Bay in April. Dicey weather. I don't know if it's going to be nice and balmy and warm there, but what do you think about Shador not going to the draft, not walking across the stage?
He makes a very valid argument. I mean, there's always more involved here, some kind of marketing deal. Maybe he's afraid he'll fall. You mentioned that yesterday. I can't argue with that logic. Unless you have a CeeDee Lamb where you have to hide your phone from your girlfriend, that's embarrassing at home. All right, coming up next, which team goes from worst to first in the NFL?
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.